I'd like to read the turn to Matthew's Gospel and in chapter 11. And we'll read from verse 28. It's the words of the Lord Jesus, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I will trust that the Lord will add a blessing to his word. We would like this evening, by the Lord's help, to interest everybody. I'm really going to read other passages, but I feel that this lovely passage in Matthew chapter 11 will be sufficient for our meeting tonight. And I want to think about a gracious invitation. A word from the Saviour, a word to sinners, a word to men, a word to women, a word to boys, and a word to girls. "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I want us all to understand tonight that in the appeal in Matthew chapter 11, he's not appealing to people who are frivolous or light-hearted, or feel the sun always shines, or the self-righteous, or people who feel they're worthy. That's not the kind of people the Lord Jesus is appealing to in Matthew chapter 11. He's appealing to dear souls, really, that are bowed down with burdens, and have got problems and difficulties and worries, and even got remorse, and they don't know where to turn, and they try to sort things out and they can't do it. I remember speaking to Duncan Donaldson, and I'm sure that most of the dear saints here will remember him. He told me when he was 69, he had been 69 times in prison, and he really thought he was a hard man. And he was given a book by Hughie Halibut, was his name, and it was Safety, Certainty and Enjoyment. And you know, for 3 or 4 days, Duncan Donaldson never left his house. And he sat in the fire, and his wife wondered what was his problem, because even the very priests in Edry were afraid of him. And you know, as I read that book, Safety, Certainty and Enjoyment, this is what he said. He says, "When I read that little book," he says, "I come to understand, and I come to see that there was a man called Jesus that could do for me what I couldn't do for myself." And you know, my friend, that is true. And I want to remind every dear soul in the meeting tonight that what he's done for others, he'll do for you. And it's very clear to me anyway that in Matthew chapter 11, that the Lord Jesus is addressing the weary of this world. But need I say tonight from this platform that this world is weary? I'm sure you'd agree with me tonight that the governments are weary. I was reading a little bit sent out of the internet about Mr. Brown, whom we pray for, and rightly pray for. But he says, you know, "I would love to walk out from it today." You see, weary beyond measure and bowed down with difficulties and problems. And the sad thing about even our present government, that they don't know which way to turn. And not only is our government weary, but society at large is weary. Tired of present condition, but that is true. You just need to speak to people on the street and speak to people around the doors, and they're absolutely weary by present conditions and the problems that's all around us. And need I say, my dear friends, this evening, that the soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq are more than weary. And not only are they more than weary, but they were left of a home, and left to be amongst their family, and at their own fireside, away from all the problems and the fighting and the wars and all these kind of things. But I want to say that there's another reason too why men are weary. There's so much constant distressing news. You know, you think of terrorism and all these problems that arise amongst people. And people even today don't feel they're safe. I remember speaking to a dear old woman a good number of years ago. She said, "You know, when 6 o'clock comes," she says, "I close my door and turn the key." She said, "I don't feel safe in the dark. You know, we're hardly safe in the daylight now, never mind in the dark." And my friend, I want to say, that's the kind of society that we're living in. And you've got the problems of family breakdown. Broken homes and broken marriages and broken lives, and what can I say about broken hearts? The world is full of that kind of people. And what I want to say, my dear soul, tonight, that's the kind of souls that the Lord Jesus really is appealing to. That's the kind of people in Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to see there are other kinds of problems as well that the Lord Jesus is addressing. But that's the kind of souls that he's speaking to. Those who are weary and tired of living, tired of life.
No, I think their society stayed in length. I was a little bit surprised to think they had a meeting amongst the medical people that they wanted in one sense to legalise euthanasia. And many a dear soul has went out that way. And sad to say, maybe thinking that death ends all. I want to write every heart from this platform tonight that death doesn't end all. You know, it's into the afterlife. You remember the words of Hebrews chapter 9, 29. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. You know, men are not sure about many things. We're not sure about the future, and they're not sure about their employment, and they're not sure about, in these days, the stability of their marriage, and they're not sure even about the future of their families. But my friend, I want us all to understand that from the young to the oldest, that we've got to go. And the big question is, go where? I think that's a great big question to ask yourself tonight. Where am I bound for? On which road am I on? Am I travelling the right way? Will heaven be my final destiny at the end? Or will it be doom and gloom instead of glory? And you know, my dear friend, it's a good exercise to ask yourself the question, when death comes my way, and remember, it will come your way. That is one thing that's sure for all men, if the Lord do not come from the saints of God. It's a big question, and a big question to ask yourself tonight, where will I be? Now let me ask you, where will you be? Well, I'm glad I'm going up. I'm glad I'm bound for heaven. And I'm glad I'm saved tonight, saved from my sin, forgiven by Christ, forgiven by God, with the hope of heaven in my heart. Though I'm glad to know this, that when death comes my way, and it will come my way sometime. My dear wife and I were just speaking about it yesterday. We've been separated for just a week. I was up for a week's ministry in Mintlaw, and she says, you know, she was looking after her granddaughter in Pendochty. She says, you know, John, I hardly think I could live without you. And you know, but it's got to come. And separation comes, and death is cruel. But I want to say that for the sake of God, the last is up. What a blessed prospect to know where you're going. And to know it's heaven, and to know it's Christ. And to know it's joy and eternal bliss. I remember writing a little tract on Leslie Ferrier's funeral. A young man was killed at 90 years of age. He had a tragic end, and I was asked to take his funeral. And you know, in the flyleaf of his Bible was these words. His mother found them after Leslie had been buried. When she went into his bedroom to have a look around, she lifted his Bible, and she opened his Bible, and in the very flyleaf of the Bible, this was written by Leslie. And before he was 19, because he died at 19, he says, life is full of ups and downs, but thank God the last for me is up. Now, my dear soul, I wonder if you could honestly say that to me. I wonder if every soul in the hall could really acquiesce with such a statement that the last is up. And I remember I wrote a little track on that. Up or down? Now I challenge you in the fear of God tonight. Which way are you travelling? Are you sure it's going to be heaven? Or it will be the caverns of the lost for all eternity to weep and to wail and to gnash your teeth? You know, my friend, it hardly bears thinking about a soul dying without Christ. And here's the Saviour in Matthew chapter 11 to appeal to dear souls that were heavy-hearted, that were burdened, that were labouring, that were doing everything really to try to get to heaven. You know, I notice something else too that is appealing to people who are heavy laden, people who are burdened. You know, people who have a load in their heart, and there are many. I was reading a wee bit about Michael Jackson. What a troubled soul. And the sad bit about the dear man, he didn't know where to turn. And God alone knows where he is tonight. It was trouble after trouble after trouble. And you know, my dear friends, he had all that the world could give him. He had more money than any other man had. But he never had peace. And he never had joy. And he never had contentment. And he never had the rest that Christ gives. I beseech from Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's speaking to people that are burdened by sin, the load of sin that's dragging them down. I want to remember, dear soul, in the meeting tonight, you know, the drug addict never meant to be a drug addict. And the alcoholic never meant to be an alcoholic. And the compulsive gambler never meant to be a compulsive gambler. But the thing that he thought he could master was the thing that eventually mastered him. And my dear soul, that's the kind of people that the Lord Jesus is appealing to in Matthew chapter 11. Those with a load of sin, a load of anxiety. Worrying about the future. Not sure about dying. I read a wee bit in the paper about Jade Goody. That she says that dear young woman, and we know she died young. But she says she was afraid to shut her eyes and go to sleep. In case she never woke up. And you know, I just took my pen one day and I wrote a letter. And I sent her gospel leaflets. That lovely tract that I got from Ireland. The Suffering Saviour. And I knew that she was suffering because the papers told me. And I just thought I would send that wee tract. Now, I don't know if it's yesterday. God will know. But this I do know. I've heard by report that before she died, she asked her husband to read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My dear friends, this evening and this meeting, what a blessed prospect for the sinner tonight. Coming from Christ. Coming from the Saviour. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. To people that are burdened by sin, and a load of anxiety, and a load of remorse, and finding it hard to live with past sins, and a load of doubt, not sure if they're going to be in heaven. What I want to show you tonight is appealing to others, not only to the weary, and not only to the burdened, but is appealing to those who are labouring. Come unto me, all ye that labour, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those who are trying hard, those who are trying the best they can. You know, I had to remind a dear woman just the other week there that the best she can is no good enough. My dear friend in the meeting tonight understands this, that our works will never take us to heaven. And our works will never make us right with God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to remind every soul in the hall that salvation is found in Christ and in Christ alone. On Christ salvation rests secure. The rock of ages must endure. Nor can that faith be overthrown that rests upon the living stone. And I want to say, my friend, and I want to make a challenge tonight, that we're living in an age of multicultural religions when people think there's many ways to heaven and there's many ways to God. I make bold to say from this platform there's only one way. And that's the Lord Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so he's appealing to people who are labouring, trying the best they can, hoping to work their way to heaven, reading the Bible and praying and church attendance and doing good and giving to charity, hoping to be in heaven one day. I remember a dear woman says to me, you know, often I asked her if she was going to heaven. She says, yes. I says, how do you know? She says, well, I've lost a sick husband for 6 years. I say, my dear, I want to tell you, it'll take more than that. It does take more than that. Though all the reads are all good things, giving to charity and reading the Bible and praying. But let me remind you, my dear soul, that will never take a soul to heaven. It's only Christ that will take a soul to heaven. And I want to say again, in the fear of God, I'm glad I'm going. And I can look upon the faces of dear souls in this hall, and I know that they're going. I'm glad for the words of Paul in relation to the Lord Jesus. If we see he's our Saviour, and thank God he is a Saviour, and what a Saviour he is. You know, friend, I don't know another man that's done so much for so many. You think of the countless millions in heaven tonight, and thank God for them. And you think of the countless millions upon earth that have been saved by sovereign grace, knowing something of the grace of God, and the love of God, and the kindness of God, and knowing something about the work of Christ in their soul. I want to say, my friend, it's a great thing to be a Christian. I know that men poo-poo it, and men ridicule, and the devil hates it, and even the world hates it, and they hate the Bible. But I want to say in the fear of God tonight that the Christian life is the best, but not the easiest. And it's not an easy life. The Christian life is a difficult life. It was never meant to be a bed of roses. It never will be, my friend. But I want to tell you, thank God, it's the best. It's the best. Not only the best now, but the best in eternity. What a prospect for every saint. And I'm just saying, I want to say, I'm glad I'm going. Now I want to think of the remedy proposed tonight. All these people that are burdened and they've got problems and the skies are dark and they're difficult and they really feel that they've not got the answer themselves to operate their problems. And there are many people like that in the world. And they don't know where to turn and they don't know what to do and they don't know the answer to their difficulties in their life. Well, I want to think of the remedy to prostrate. Let him come unto me. You know, the remarkable thing is that Mr. Blair could never have said that. And you know, Gordon Brown could never say that. And George Bush could never say that. And Barack Obama could never say that. Let him come unto me. You know what I've learned? I've learned Christ can do for me what men can't do. And I'm glad tonight to tell you that he's our Saviour. And what a Saviour he is. That was the word that rang over the Judean plains that day. Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David our Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And he is our Saviour. But let me tell you, friend, he's the Saviour. There's no another Saviour. There's no another way. There's no another Christ. There's no another door to heaven. You know, many ways lead to Christ, but only Christ leads to God. And he made that claim himself. But thank God I can say tonight he's my Saviour. My soul doth magnify the Lord, Mary said, and my spirit doth rejoice in God my Saviour. And I want to remind you, I can never forget the night he saved me. And not only has he saved me, but my dear soul has kept me until this present time. And the same grace that saved me is the same grace that's kept me, and it's the same grace that will finally and safely land me home to heaven. And there's millions there already. You know, I was just sitting in my study the other day there. And I was just thinking about all the good men that have gone and women that have gone home to heaven. And the great prospect for the child of God is this, that we're all going to be one. And we're all going to sing in Lord his praises eternally. And I was just trying to imagine what it'll be to look upon the face of Christ for the first time. We sing that lovely hymn of the Lord's people, face to face with Christ my Saviour, face to face, what will it be? You know, I heard about a young man called Will Loring, maybe some of the dear saints know him. He just died 2 or 3 months ago, a dreadful end, couldn't breathe. And you know, 2 or 3 of the young brethren went to visit him. And he says to these brethren, he says, brethren, I want you to sing a hymn. Because they couldn't sing the hymn for weeping. He says, I want you to sing face to face with Christ my Saviour. And the only one that sung it was him. And he could hardly sing it at all. What a hope. What a prospect. To be right with God. To be on the right road. To be on the other side, the right side of the door. Or in our language today, on the right side of the fence. My friend, it's a great thing to know the Lord Jesus for yourself. And hear his appealing to these dear burdened souls and weary souls and labouring souls and distraught souls. And no doubt people in poverty and people with difficulties and people with burdens, when the sun seems to hide its face from them. He says, let them come unto me. I want to ask a wee question. I want to ask every soul, when are you going to come? You don't think you've put off long enough? Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. My dear friends, today is yours. Tomorrow is eternity hid from your view. And so the Lord Jesus gives this lovely appeal in Matthew chapter 11 to these distraught souls. He says, come unto me. You know why he can say that? Because he's the answer. Christ is the answer to our need. Christ is the answer. He is a friend indeed. Problems of life my spirit may assail. With Christ my Saviour I can never fail. For Christ is the answer to my need.
You never believe this, but Peter. That dear man, I've come along more and more. We're always falling in his mistakes and his difficulties, even as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. There came a day one day when he says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now I want just to finish in a few minutes, just to think about some dear souls that came to the Lord Jesus who were murdered. And you know, my friend, he was the answer, because these dear souls found he was the answer. They knew that he could solve the problem. They knew that he could do for them what they couldn't do for themselves. And you know, my friend, you've got to get there in your soul. And I just want to think for a wee moment about that dear woman in Mark chapter 5. And we've heard her story over and over again. It's old, but thank God it's ever new. That woman that was diseased with the issue of blood, she really had a hemorrhage. And you know, my friend, I want to remind you, she's just a wee picture of every sinner. She's a wee picture of every man and woman and boy and girl that comes into this world, because we're all diseased. Every one of us. We're not thinking now about physical diseases, although she was that. My friend, we've got a spiritual problem. We've got a difficulty because we were born sinners. But the great thing is that we don't need to remain a sinner, because the Bible says that Christ died for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could have locked the gate of heaven and let us in. My friend, the price for your sin has been paid and borne by Christ. And you know, it says this, that she was diseased. It says something about it, this dear woman, that she was deluded. It says in Mark chapter 5, she has suffered many things of many physicians. Now, we've all been there, even with physical ailments. We try this, and we try allopath, and some even try homeopath, and they try something else, only to get a cure for the problems. And you know, my friend, this dear woman was no different. She was deluded. She had suffered many things by many physicians. She had tried this, and she had tried that, and the problem never seemed to go away. I remember having meetings in Edmonton many, many years ago in a little portable hall with Frank Reed, and halfway through the meeting a dear young woman came in. I can still see her yet. And at the end of the meeting I could see she was quite distraught, and she had problems and difficulties in her life. She says, I want to tell you, I've tried the Mormons, I've tried the Jehovah's Witnesses, I've tried the missions, I've tried everything. I said, I want to tell you, my dear, you've never tried Christ. And is the answer? And I made bold to say that, and so with the believers in the hall tonight, that is the answer to your need, and is the answer to your particular problem. And this dear woman, she was deluded, and I noticed something else, she was destitute. She had spent her all, and she had nothing left. I'm glad about salvation, that sister, it's all free. Free, free, free indeed. Free to you tonight. Don't need to spend a penny for it. I was about to say, you don't need to do anything for it, but that's not true. We need to repent of our sin and believe the Lord Jesus. And this dear woman, she was destitute, and she was deteriorating. She rather grew worse. But what I love about this dear soul was that she was diligent. But she heard about Jesus. This is what she said. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. You know, my dear friend, it wasn't the hem of garment that made her whole. It was her faith in Christ. And I can see this dear woman pressing through the crowd, because there was much people around the Lord Jesus that day. All kinds of people, the curious and the critics, and those that were genuine, all around the Saviour to hear what they had to say. And there she is, I can see her even tonight, pressing through that crowd, with anxiety in her soul, and a burden in her heart. She says, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. And she came forward and got down, and touched the hem of his garment, and she felt she was cured. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus, don't you, who touched me? And his disciples said, Master, there are many that throng me, yet sayest thou, who touched me? He said, someone has touched me, because virtue has gone out of me. And she came in fear and trembling and bowed down before him. And I thank God for his words. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. I want to say to every man and woman tonight in this meeting, if you're not saved, you need to get away beyond yourself. And you need to drop your opinions about yourself and your thoughts about getting right with God and your thoughts about getting to heaven. You need to drop them all. And you'll only need to come to Christ because you've got the answer. Come unto me. But I'm going to think about another man this time who had a problem and who was burdened and his condition was desperate. And that's the man of Gadara in the same chapter. Demon possessed, the Bible says, lived amongst the tombs, men bound him with chains. His mind was gone, his peace was gone, his happiness was gone, his liberty was gone, and sad to say, his very respect was gone, because another gospel tells me that he wore no clothes. What a picture of the sinner. What a desperate case. And men couldn't help him. Neither doctor nor physician could help this dear man. And I know it from Mark chapter 5 and in verse 5, his life was almost gone. Night and day in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Helpless and friendless. But let me tell you, friends, he wasn't hopeless. Because the Bible says that when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped. Do you know what a change there was in that dear man's life? The Lord healed him, and the Lord touched him. And the Bible said he was sitting, and he was clothed, and in his right mind. Wasn't he sitting before? He wasn't clothed before. But you got that now. What a change, my dear friend, if you come to the Lord Jesus. And that's the promise given in Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. This man never knew what rest was. But Christ gave him it. I want to say to any dear soul that's burdened and got problems and you're unrest and you don't know, you're full of anxiety and you've just got difficulties, you feel you can't sort out yourself, just you come to the Lord Jesus and trust his word and believe what he says and believe in him. And God says, thou shalt be saved. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now that's what men need, and that's what this world needs. We're living in a world of political unrest, and social unrest, and religious unrest, and moral unrest. And I want to say, friend, if you want joy, and you want peace, and you want true rest, you'll find it in the blessed person of the Lord Jesus. This man was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. I remember years ago when I was there in Manchester with Jim Smith having gospel meetings in a tent. There was a man came in, quite a young man, and he stood at the back of the tent and he started to hackle our brother Jim. And I remember he kept shouting, say something about communism. And I don't know if Jim was put up a wee bit, and he never answered to start with. And he said it again, preacher, say something about communism. And I just waited to see what Jim would say. He says, man, he says, communism will put a new coat in the man. But thank God Christ will put a new man in the coat. And I want to say, friends, that's true. If any man be in Christ, all things are passed away and behold, all things are become new. May you find rest tonight, and may you find peace, and may you find forgiveness in the blessed person of the Lord Jesus. For he says to you, come unto me. May God bless you. So good. God and Father, we again would thank you for the Saviour and bless you for the value of his death for us on Calvary. We think of all that he suffered and all that he endured. We think of the ridicule that he incurred and the curl of the lip and the stare of the face and the tongue and all the ridicule from men, and yet we thank you that he endured it patiently with dignity and grace. And yet we remember he was there to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. When we bless you, we can say there's a way back to God from the dark past of sin. There's a door that is open, but all may go in at Calvary's cross. It's where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. We commend this meeting to thee. We thank you for every soul that's here. Make thy word a blessing to your hearts, we pray, both to sinner and saint alike. We thank thee for the peace that we found in him, and we pray that might continue until travelling days are done. We ask all as we give thanks in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, I would love to sing that favourite of mine that the dear brother gave it. If there's any hymn I love in the book, it's 174. I was just amazed to sing a whole hymn again. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest me down, thou ye the one lay down. I hear a poem, my breast. 174.